happened by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned.
Greetings and welcome back to Livestream, your weekly dose of life, only on Good News Community Radio, the station that brings you hope. And this is Vaughn, aka the Cyber Hitchhiker, for those that know me on other channels. And we are back in studio for another episode this week, coming at you on Good News Community Radio from 4:30 to 5:30. And that is Livestream, your weekly dose of life. And we have been discussing through July, because July, for those that don't know, is Men's Month. It also just happened to be Good News Community Radio's 27th year birthday month. So a happy birthday to GNCR. We wish you many, many more faithful years in servicing our communities with the good news, as well as all of the amazing outreach work that we do here at Good News Community Radio. We were at Gundy Park on Saturday morning with Parks Department as part of the Parks Month Initiative, as well as the GNCR Birthday Month Initiative. And we joined forces with the Parks Department here in Durban, and we all went out to Gundy Park at 7:30 on Saturday morning. And we had an amazing time there fellowshipping and obviously speaking the good news to those that needed to hear it. But more than anything, we were there just to be a blessing to the community and go into Gundy Park and help our Parks Department. We always see the workers picking up the trash and doing all the dirty work. So we decided to get our hands dirty and join them this last Saturday. And it was great. Gundy Park was looking extra clean. Everyone had an awesome time. And I think as Christians, we need to start understanding that church happens Monday to Saturday. Sunday mornings are just our worship services that are there to basically teach us, fill us up with knowledge, and for us to edify each other and obviously worship our Father in heaven. But the real work takes place as a Christian community out on the streets, living our lives daily and shining a light on the truth that is Jesus is the answer to all of the world's problems. So before I waffle on anymore, we had Pastor Brian in studio last week, which interrupted our flow a little bit, but I felt it was better to have him in first before we continued with the message that we had from Pastor Ronald. As you know, 2 weeks ago, we had Pastor Ronald Pillay in studio and we had an awesome discussion where we discussed what defines a father. And then we went on to discuss the prodigal son story in depth, which we will continue with today. But last week we had Pastor Brian come in and we discussed when a man becomes a father. So we first defined a pastor, we defined a father with Pastor Ronald Pillay, and then we discussed when a man becomes a father with Pastor Brian Marimutu last week. I hope that I've pronounced his surname name correctly this time. But now we are going to pick up where we left off after we spoke about what defines a father. We then discussed a father, and we related that back to the father in the prodigal son story. So the story of the prodigal son is the story of a father who never gives up hope and is ready to receive his child back with open arms, no questions. I mean, we can discipline, we can hold our kids accountable, but the one thing we must never do as fathers is give up. And just as a prelude to our discussion today with Pastor Ronald, let me just introduce the discussion today with a portion of the prodigal son scripture, Luke 15:20-24. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf. Kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And the Bible says, and they began to celebrate. So with that in mind, we are going to hand over to Pastor Ronald for our discussion on fatherhood, but specifically relating that story back to the parable of the prodigal son. Here is Pastor Ronald Pillay with an in-depth discussion on the prodigal son story. Pastor Ronald, let's pick up with the father and the prodigal son story in Luke. and the whole meaning of what this whole, can we call it a parable or a story, is about, with the son leaving the father, wanting everything from his dad before his dad dies. Give us your insights on this whole prodigal son story in context with everything that we are talking about today.
Yes, thanks again, Vaughn, for bringing to our attention some of these issues that we are dealing with. Let's be fair to say it's very difficult to be a father in this era that we are living in. There's a lot of pressure on parents, a lot of pressure on the men of the house to be providers and to do what is in their heart to do. And as we know that, you know, it's becoming more difficult economically. So fathers bear a lot of pressure, a lot of burdens, and they are very quiet. You know, many fathers carry things quietly. They are broken, many fathers. And, you know, and I'm so glad again that you are bringing this to our attention. I didn't even know it was Father's Month.
Yes, most guys don't know that there's a men's month.
Yeah, there's a men's month or Father's Month. And you're bringing this to our attention because many fathers out there are struggling and suffering and in pain quietly. They feel inadequate. They feel like failures. They feel like no one pays attention to them. And you know, and of course, they have many walls and guards that they have built up. It's hard to penetrate into, you know, their minds and into their thinking. So we thank God for His Word. The only thing that can penetrate hard ground, you know, the Word of God is a hammer. It can break hard places in our life. The only thing that can reach a hard heart, a stony heart, a coarse heart, is the Word of God. And so when you refer to Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son, which we are all very familiar with. If you grew up in the church, at some point you would have heard this account of the prodigal son preached in many ways. But the prodigal son cannot be read by itself. You have to read the preceding parables. There are two other parables that are attached to the parable of the prodigal son. And the first one is the lost sheep, which is a picture of salvation. And this is knowing God as our Savior. You know, He leaves the 99 and He goes to find that one that is lost. And that is Heavenly Father, Abba Father. You know, this is how He cares for us and loves us. And He shows His tenderness and His loving kindness. That, you know, when we are lost, He always comes to search us out, find us, and pour in the oil and the wine to heal us. And this is the nature of God, our Savior. So it's also, you know, connected closely to our salvation in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, we all know the next story of the next parable Jesus shares is the story of the lost coin, the woman that lost her bridal coin, you know, and she had 10 coins on this bracelet on her head and she lost one. And the Bible says that she had to shut the door, put the light on, and then sweep the house. There are times in our life we have to shut the door. We have to put the light of God's word on to illuminate dark areas. And then we have to sweep out things in our life that has collected over a period of time, like anger, anxiousness, anxiety, depression, malice, you know, all kinds of feelings of anger, and maybe even our past. Many men deal with their past. They have not healed their past. They're growing up, the issues that they faced. And that's a very deep issue to deal with. It takes time to deal with your past. So they carry that into their marriage. They carry that into their fathering and the way they handle their family. So it's important to put the light on, and the light of God's word must be turned on. You know what's sad for us, and sad for, I know it's heavy on your heart as well, is the lack of doctrine in churches, the lack of the word of God in churches. And so people are still bound. People are still imprisoned. We have wonderful church meetings, but we live with the same problems, the same mental problems. So churches become entertainment centers. They have become centers where, our feelings are taken care of, our emotions. And so there are a lot of celebrities, a lot of performance, theatrics, which is good. We need venues. We need to enjoy ourselves in the corporate worship. But what we do need is for the word of God to reach the people's hearts so they can be healed. Yes. The Bible says he sent his word to heal their diseases. And so the word of God is the only healing balm, the healing component. And so our churches must get back to the word of God for mental problems to be solved, marriage problems, money problems, and a whole, gauntlet of problems that people face. The only solution is the word of God. And so our churches must become word filled. They must become word centers. And, not just preaching sermons that make us feel good, but we have to dig deep into the healing power of God's word. And, this is very, very important. And this is why we continue with the same problems, with the same issues in life that we are facing. So, if I may say this, I know you'll allow me, you can't come to church and fall down and expect your problems to disappear.
Yes.
You have to engage God's word. So the leader of the church, the pastor of the church, the spiritual father must bring manna from above, word from above, a word from God, a proceeding word, a now word, a new word, an anointed word, so that he can heal the flock. There must be green pastures. So when we approach this particular Luke 15 and boil it down, the second issue is the issue of covenant. The lost coin is a picture of covenant. Her wedding bracelet was, a depiction and an expression that she was married.
Yes.
So when she lost that one coin, a husband would assume that she was messing around. So she had to find that coin. And our covenant is very important. When we lose a coin in our life, 10 is a number of the law. 10 is also the number of the Ten Commandments, for example. And so when she lost that coin, she lost a covenant. So after salvation, there's covenant. Maintain the covenant, adjoining. We call it the Hebronic position. Hebron means covenant. David moved from Adullam to Hebron and then to Zion. Zion is a place of rulership. And so this important progression to understand now what Father is. So moving from salvation, the next leg is covenant. And the next leg now is sonship.
You are tuned in between 4:30 and 5:00, and you're listening to Lifestream, your weekly dose of life, with your host Vaughn in studio. And we are discussing the prodigal son story with Ronald Pillay, Pastor Ronald Pillay. And we are discussing it from the dynamic of dads never give up on their kids. And we're relating that back to the prodigal son story. So let's get back to the discussion.
And sonship is knowing who your father is. Mm. And knowing a father is identity. If I was sitting here today and I didn't look like my father, you will be very worried. For example, if I came in here and I look like a Chinese man, yes, and I started speaking Chinese, you'd be very concerned about that. You would want a DNA test immediately. So this is the problem. We are not looking like our Heavenly Father, because the DNA of God's word is not put into God's people. We are giving people sweets. We are giving people stories. We are giving people all kinds of testimonies, which is good. But the DNA, The genetic coding comes through the word of God. So when that word genetics, let's call it that, is put into the people of God, they start looking like the Heavenly Father. So this story now that you have reminded us about, you know, there were two boys in the story, the younger boy and the older boy, the young son and the older son. And there's lots of things going on in the story beside the fact that we are familiar with, you know, there was a good father and the prodigal returned from a backslidden life, from a life that was lost in the pigsty or in the world in this case. But I think the opening lines of the younger son, when he said to his father, "Give me my portion," that's a very powerful statement. Give me my portion. Now, you know, you can only receive a portion of an estate or inheritance when a person, in this case, a father, dies. So when the young son asked his father for his portion, he was, in a sense, saying to his father, "I wish you was dead. I wish you was not around." Yes.
Sure.
And, you know, this kind of immaturity in the young son, the way he approached his father, he was basically saying to his dad, "I wish you was not around." And let me bring that to a more, you know, current state. There are many people that are wishing and praying that their parents were not around. Now, you know, our audience will be familiar with this. When a person is sick or when a person dies, the infighting, the family feuds, the bickering, the contention, the strife caused by wanting a parent's inheritance. And, you know, there's all kinds of infighting, sibling rivalry that takes place. And it's so sad that we are living in a society where your audience is an exception. I don't believe they are perpetrating these kinds of things, where children are expecting their parents to disappear and also to leave this earth. So this is what the younger son was saying. He's saying, "I want my portion. Even though you are not dead, I want you to give it to me." And the father, of course, he obliged. He gave the portion. Now, also remember, the young son did not work for that inheritance. The father accumulated it. It was the father's accumulation, the father's assets. So he wants something he didn't work for prematurely. And this would have been a very painful thing for a father, especially a Jewish father, to hear his son, who he thought he had put in certain attributes and characteristics, who would have grown up with a certain kind of nature of the father, to see him behave in such a rebellious way, in such a such a cruel way towards his own father. And so you know that he left his house. Now, the house of a father, we know, is a place of protection. So when he left home, he just did not leave a physical structure. He left the protection. He left the provision. He left the prosperity, the safety, the security, the provision of a father's, house. And the Bible says, so whenever a person prematurely departs from his parents or his father in a biological or a spiritual sense, it is a very serious issue. You know, we're living in a time as well where people have no accountability. They can just leave a home. They can depart from our house without saying goodbye, following protocols, and, doing certain important things for your departure. So all of a sudden you find out children just depart. Even in churches, in spiritual houses, you know, it's unethical. It's a violation to just disappear from a spiritual house without talking to your spiritual father. So he departs and he leaves. So when we leave a house, we're not just leaving a physical structure. We're leaving all of these benefits, provisions that comes with the house. You are leaving a shelter. You're leaving a covering. You are leaving the house of grace. And this is a very serious issue. and it comes before the Lord. And there are consequences for premature leaving. You see, a father sends you. It is a father who knows the right time. Many children get married before their time. They get into careers that take them far away from home and family. And so there's no supervision. And they do as they please when they are far away. They don't communicate and stay in contact. And so they are an island to themselves. They are wanderers. They just are fugitives on the earth because they left. And when you leave a house prematurely, you will be a fugitive. You'll wander on the earth. Yeah, you'll be prosperous. You'll have some benefits in life. Things may go well, but you'll be a fugitive. And this is an issue that we need to address. And so you also know the Bible says now he becomes lavish and he starts spending his father's inheritance, not wisely, foolishly, with lewd living, promiscuous living, and worldly living. And whenever you waste a father's inheritance, when you don't use it wisely, you will become a vagabond. And that's what he became. He became a vagabond. And the Bible says he went far away. He went far away. You know, he created a distance between his father or his house. And he went far away. Eventually, the Bible says he joined himself to a citizen. There's no name given to this person. He joins himself to anything. When you leave home, you'll join yourself to anything. You'll go far away and you will join yourself to anyone and anything. You'll lie in any bed. You will do anything. You'll become corrupt, immoral, wicked, and lose all your moral character. That's what happened to him. He joined himself to a citizen, a no-name person, a person with no identity. Home gives you identity, but now he loses his identity. And then, you know, The thing that is most demeaning for a Jewish person to do is to work in a pigsty.
Yes.
They're not supposed to be associated with this animal. And this is where he finds employment. When you leave home, you eventually will do anything to survive. And therefore we have, you know, sadly, and we are involved in this program in our city in the Phoenix area with the addiction recovery programs. We see so many young people bound by substances, drugs and alcohol and pornography. And you mentioned also social media is the new addiction. Not only are young people involved in social media addiction, old people as well. This has become the new pandemic. And it's robbing families, robbing homes. And so he becomes involved and employed in a job that he's not supposed to be associated with. And he finds himself also at the lowest point in his life. He starts to desire the food of the pigs. Now, that's a very low place to be in life, where we leave the diet of our house and we settle for any type of diet, trash, garbage. You know, a lot of people settle for any doctrine. They eat all kinds of doctrine. They settle for, let's say, call it this as the Bible calls it, dove's dung or pig's food. You know, they just settle for any kind of theology. They turn to apostasy. The thing that they once believed, they don't believe anymore. You know, they stop believing certain things because we have also adopted an American type of gospel, a Western gospel. We feel that everything that comes from the West is good and right. But, you know, and I say this from my perspective, much of what comes from the West, I'm sorry to say, is absolute garbage.
100%.
It's absolute garbage. It's killing God's people, destroying them. And so we lose our identity and we start eating all kinds of doctrines and all kinds of, you know, some of the principles that we learned growing up, we have lost. The principles of honor, of respecting our elders, of honoring our parents with our substance, taking care of them, taking care of our community. How many young people who have left the streets of where I come from in Phoenix. And life has gotten better. They have moved to other places. They have moved to other provinces or even other countries. And they do well. And they don't come back to bless their own community. So the moral compass is gone off, and they send messages from far countries of how bad South Africa is, how bad Phoenix is, how bad Durban is. But why don't you come and help?
Correct.
Why don't you build that community?
Correct.
Why don't you come pour your assets and your monetary value back into the community that grew you up, that schooled you, that you made friends with? And so it's easy to shout from afar. It's important that we the people that are successful come back to be a blessing to their community, also to their churches, to be a blessing to their churches. You know, after a certain period, and I've seen this phenomenon of, you know, a certain pastor and a certain church, a certain father grows you up from a child. They are there with you in Sunday school, youth club. They create all of these resources for you to benefit from. They are there to counsel you all through your school life, your university life. They pray for you. And of course, they marry you. They counsel you. They dedicate your children. And as soon as some level of prosperity or blessings or comfort comes in, they leave that location with no accountability, as I mentioned, with no goodbyes in some occasions. They leave, they depart, and they go to some plush place. And they pour their resources into those places. I don't want to say churches, yes. Places. And unfortunately, and they make a house that's prosperous, more prosperous. But why don't you come back to the spiritual house and the spiritual father that blessed you, that was there for you, that counseled you, and brought you to a place of stability and prosperity where you're flourishing, you're growing, you're experiencing good things in life, your career is going well, your profession is going well, and there's so much of increase. And, you know, this phenomenon is lost. And so we settle in locations where we have prosperity, but spiritually we are dry, impoverished, barren, lukewarm. There's no proceeding word. There's a difference between stories and proceeding word. So this fellow, this young son, now begins to desire pig's food. He lowers himself. He loses his identity. But you know, Vaughn, what's very interesting about this particular story and this young man, the Bible says he came to his senses.
Correct.
Now, there's a place in life we must come to our senses. And so he starts talking to himself. So this fellow was a dichotomy. There were two people inside of him. Another spirit captured him. And so he started to speak to himself. And he said, I need to get up from here. And I need to go back to my father's house. And do you know what he thought about when he thought about his father's house? The first thing he thought about was the food in my father's house. Whenever you think about a house, you know, in my growing up years, when I was a teenager, I remember I used to go out and have a good time with my friends. I'm sure all of you young people know about that, where you just go and party and have a weekend away. You don't think about home. Monday, sometimes Saturday. Sunday morning, you start thinking about home. I need to go back home. And one of the things you think about after all that exercise of having fun and doing whatever you want to do at that time in your life where you are immature, you think about your mother's food.
Correct.
You think about, 100%. Wow, you know, I wish I could eat my mother's food right now. Because at some point, no matter where you go, hunger will drive you back to the place you belong. And so this hunger in him, he began to desire the food of his father's house. The Bible says, you know, he thought about the servants in his father's house. He said, even they have bread to eat. And here I am. And in this condition, in this state. And so one of the things that a person, a believer, and in this case, a son of God, must be drawn to is the food in a father's house. And that's the word of God, the doctrine, the flowing streams of fresh water that is in the house. You know, this is the five loaves that Jesus and the two fish that he blessed. He offered it up and gave thanks and he broke it. Every house must have a flow of bread, to baskets of bread, baskets of manna in the house. So the thing that keeps us attracted to a spiritual house and brings us to our sonship after we have these episodes of losing our identity as sons of God is the strong doctrine in the house, the strong word in the house. Every person must be attracted to the word of God in their house. Like a baby cries out for milk. So the milk, the bread, the meat, and the manna of God's word must attract us to the house. So that is what drove him back home. And you know the story very well.
And that was Pastor Ronald Pillay and myself discussing the prodigal son story. Do tune in next week for the conclusion of this discussion with Pastor Ronald Pillay. Before we move across to Women's Month, which we will have a jam-packed program schedule coming up with guests discussing the role of women in society from a biblical perspective, that is, from being a wife, from being a mother, and we'll relate that to the family unit that is prescribed in the Bible, the role of motherhood in the church and in the broader sense in our communities as a whole. Because like we've said over Men's Month, we lack fathers in society today, fathers who actually understand what being a father is and what fatherhood is all about. If you are part of the fatherhood, then you are in the right hood. Let's put it that way. And so this month we will be discussing the role of mothers and the role that they play in our communities, in our families, and in our churches. So stay tuned to Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM, the station that brings you hope. And stay tuned to Livestream, your weekly dose of life, where we bring you all the updated news from around the globe and locally on sanctity of life issues, as well as our guests discussing everything to do with sanctity of life, from family to abortion to euthanasia to all of the social-driven topics and agendas that are in our news lately that we see on our screens wherever we are. We discuss all of that. So tune in to Livestream next week as we conclude our discussion with Pastor Ronald and then move over to our focus on our mothers, our ladies, our sisters, our grandmothers. We salute you for your service and for everything that you do, for your sacrifices, especially our godly women. Without you and without your prayers, I don't think a lot of what goes on in our churches and in our communities would be possible. So just a quick salute to you guys before we focus in on mothers and motherhood and women in general for August. This is Vaughn saying goodbye and God bless.
Oh, I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they don't just happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned.